Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this evening is the Benedictus, the song of Zechariah. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. This is the text. Said before, silence is underrated. Gives us time to think, to reflect on the things of God. John the Baptist's life is a preaching of the gospel, actually of law and gospel. But it begins with this strange silence. Silence is underrated, but remember, beginning of the Bible, before God speaks, what is there but silence? End of the Bible, book of Revelation. And we find this recorded in the first verse of chapter 8. When the last of the seals is opened and the kingdom of God comes to be all that there is, that verse says, and there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Silence is underrated. That second verse from Revelation teaches something very important, and that is that we as human beings, finally, when everything is said and done, when all our life has been lived, when the Word of God has done what the Word of God is doing, when God finally speaks, what does the world have to say in response? Silence acknowledges, at certain times, acknowledges the truth and says, there is nothing more to say. I hear people say at various times in their lives, you know, I have a bunch of questions to ask God. I want answers to these things. And I've come to the conclusion that when the time comes and when we stand before God and we understand what has been going on and what God has been doing, our reply might just be, oh, and nothing more to say. Silence. There's a song in our hymnal that starts out with the phrase, now the silence. There's a long tradition of reflecting on silence before the Lord. And out of that also comes a tradition in many places around the world where before the service, there is a time, a period of silence. It's an uncomfortable thing in our culture because we want to fill the space available, the time, the minutes, the seconds, with all kinds of speech. We're not all that good at silence. And so we have Zechariah. And the story of John the Baptist starts out with Zechariah in the temple, the angel appearing, and Zechariah questioning and saying, how do I know? How do I know? And the angel declares to him, because you would not accept the word of God, you will be silent. And Zechariah gets 9 months of reflecting on the Word of God, on the promises, and how do you respond to those things? including sometimes silence. And it's only when the fulfillment has happened, only when the child is to be named on the day of his naming, what is he to be called? And they ask Zechariah, of course, you don't want him named John, do you? And his name is John, he writes. That's what the picture on the screen is all about. In the background, you might see Mary, the mother of Jesus. So if Mary is there, who else is there? Jesus. Present at the naming of John. So, John then grows up to be a voice calling out in the wilderness. In the wilderness also is a place of silence, a place of stillness, a place where there is none of the busy activity of the city or of the populated places, but out there where nothing is happening, silence. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, and he doesn't actually need our work to make the kingdom come. It will come whether we will or not. Silence. And so, hearing the word of God and being out there in the wilderness and being that prophet that sets aside all of the things of the populated areas and the busyness of Jerusalem and of Judea and everything else, there's something very strange about John. People begin to go out and see him and they ask, what is this all about? Silence. Silence when all of humanity has done all it can to bring about the good and righteous kingdom, and all of our good works end up doing what? They wander off into confusion and things get messed up. Silence. When we've done everything in our lives to try and live up to what God has called us to be and find out that we can't. And that it's not us and not our ability, and this is how far we can get as human beings, and it isn't enough. It falls completely short, and the kingdom of God can't be done by us. Silence. Silence in the knowledge that, however we have fallen short, there is one who is coming. He will bring everything. He will accomplish all. He will win eternal life, fellowship with God. He will win for us what Adam and Eve first lost and what we have lost, each one of us, as we've come along. Silence. But here comes the one who is the Word of God. Zechariah's song. We're going to walk through some of the phrases. He has visited and redeemed his people. Remember when it says redeemed, that there is a purchase price. In order to redeem, you have to pay a ransom. Verse 69, a horn of salvation, and the image of the horn means the power of God coming into the world. But what a strange power of God that enters the world first as a little tiny baby carried within the womb, and then as a baby born in a stable, laid in a manger. What a strange power of God when Jesus goes into the wilderness to fast and to pray, to be tempted. What a strange power of God when Jesus kneels in the garden and sweats great drops of blood. What a strange power of God, and you know how it continues on until the cross. Then there's darkness and silence and a cry and a dying and a sealed tomb and more silence. And then the third day and the proclamation that will never, ever stop. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. This was planned all along for God to do the work of salvation in this way. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from ourselves. Verse 72, the mercy promised to our fathers, and that verse, the promised mercy. There is a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is almost untranslatable as a simple word. The Hebrew word is chesed. And the closest I've heard of what it means is covenant mercies. Different translations try in different ways. The Revised Standard tried loving kindness. The King James simply went with mercy. But there's a background to all of that. Covenant mercies. These are the mercies that God promised. He promised them back to Abraham, back as far as the Garden of Eden. These are the promised mercies. Not just any mercies, not mercies given out arbitrarily, but mercies that have been promised and that have a price attached, mercies that would have to be earned by the blood of the Son of God, mercies that would come into this world only through the birth of Jesus Christ. Mercies that could only come to us in the flesh. The baby, and then of the grown-up Jesus Christ. Those mercies. And to remember his covenant, verse 72. Remembering his covenant, it's not like the, oh, now I remember where I put that. Which, by the way, I'm still struggling with some things. Remembering his covenant means he takes that covenant that was sworn to Abraham, that was announced to Adam and Eve, that carried on through all of the pages of the Old Testament. He takes that covenant and he says, I am going to bring that covenant right into your life. And you are a covenanted friend of God, called by him to be his forever. And then verse 74. This is where this has all been going. That we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. See, this is what Zechariah has been dreaming of all of his days. This is not simply having a child. This is not simply having a child that would be a great prophet. This is not simply having a child that would stand righteous before God. This is to be able to stand for all eternity in the presence of God and to serve Him in... Wait a minute, how's that said in the catechism? That I may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as He is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, this is most certainly true. I think Martin Luther was looking at this verse when he wrote that part of the catechism. It is the hopes and the dreams of Zechariah for all his life, knowing that so many things in life have gone wrong. But now, to hear God's promise that he might serve God, holiness and righteousness, all his days, and have God changed the definition of all his days to now all his days includes all the days of eternity? This is the fulfillment of fulfillments. This is everything that's coming along. And Zechariah now gets to speak about it, to prophesy, to preach, and to sing about it. And to be a part of the songs of salvation, waiting for more of the songs to come along. And they will come along. And they will be sweet. In Jesus' name.